Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. We have Fiona, Luke, and myself chatting today. And I just want to take us back to my childhood to give some context. We lived on a main road, and a very short walk up the street past my primary school was a milk bar. It would be something that we were allowed to go to by ourselves because it was not too far away. And we would go with like a dollar and come back with a huge stash of lollies and go home and eat said lollies. And so I was going past that corner, no longer exists. And I don't remember the last time I saw a milk bar.
They're very rare nowadays. If I do see one, I'll step into it. There's one in Collingwood, near Collingwood High School.
Yeah.
And I'll often step into that when I go down, taking the nieces and nephews to basketball, because I want to see all the little lollies that they're selling in the under the counter. Yeah.
Amazing. Did you have milk bars growing up, Luke? Were they gone?
I did. I had one on the corner of like the street that my primary school was on. I never really had the funds to buy anything from it, but I would walk with my friends. I'd get dropped off at school, and then my friends and I would, once our parents had left, leave the school grounds so that we could go and have a look at the stuff at the milk bar. But yeah, now that I think about it, that I'm not sure how long that lasted or if it even had milk bar plastered on the actual building itself, but it became like an IGA, I think, and then kind of still had some stuff, but the magic was gone and it was very much more just like a supermarket at that point.
So did you, from said milk bars, do lunch orders at the milk? So we would put in on a paper bag, like write our order. The school would organise for it to go to the milk bar. They would fulfil the orders and bring it back to the school because we didn't have a school canteen. So the milk bars, I think, were strategically located around schools, and that's how we did our lunch orders.
No, we did the same. In primary school was a milk bar. Exactly the same. And you would get like a roll, and you could have Vegemite or peanut butter or, you know, I think sometimes jam, not often. And then every Friday there'd be a special on, and the special could be like a sticky bun, you know, a bun with icing on the top, with a bit of coconut. Or it would be...
Hot jam donuts?
No, nothing ever hot. But yeah,
we all had hot stuff.
We would write our order and you put the money inside the order, and then the bag would, little brown paper bag would go to the milk bar and they'd come back at lunchtime.
Yeah. I remember writing all of the things, like, but we would get hot pies and sausage rolls and everything.
Nothing like that. It was only a sandwich, or normally it was a roll that you would, you know, those scroll rolls with a bit on the top. You pull the top bit out and have a little bit of Vegemite on it, eat that, and then eat the rest of it.
But anyway, I think the real estate was too expensive. Like the land was valuable, and now apartments and houses have taken over other businesses.
What did a milk bar mean to you as a Gen Y? Like for me as a Gen X, milk bar had a few things. One was, yes, you go get milk there. You get your fresh bread from there.
Mm-hmm.
You get your school lunch, like you said. We'd get the newspaper, always get the newspaper, and the lollies were the other big one. And it wasn't lollies like a Mars bar or anything like that. That they were sort of exotic. It was an entire counter under a glass top that would have 20 or 30 1- and 2-cent lollies.
And you could get like a scoop.
Well, they would do it.
Yeah, you know, they would do it.
They would do it. And, you know, you'd spend, like, if you spent 50 cents, that's 50 lollies, and the poor person behind the counter would be putting 50 lollies into this bag, you know. But that's what a milk bar represents to me. What about the Gen Z? What does a milk bar represent to you?
Yeah, it's a good question because, honestly, past primary school, I actually don't really remember the concept of a milk bar.
Mm.
Like, the phrase... like remains, but like when I think of those spaces now, it's just supermarkets.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Yeah.
So I can't really say that it holds some really close, you know, dear part of my heart. But I do remember kind of going, and whenever I'd have like a $2 coin that I'd found somewhere, I'd go and buy like a. They would have like a small little like hot section, and I'd get like salt and vinegar chicken strips for like $2 each or something like that.
Oh my god!
Because a lot of the people used to live behind their milk bars. So it'd be a house and they'd live in the back of it, and then the milk bar was in the front.
And often like their child would come serve you.
Yeah, all the time. Or the bell on the door, so you'd come in, the bell would ring and they'd come out, they'd be watching TV in the lounge room. You could see the lounge room through the back there.
I often, it would be a bribe, so we'd take the dog. So it was through my high school that we also, the milk bar was prominent, so maybe I have stronger memories of it than you do, Luke, but we'd go for a walk with the dog and we'd get ice creams or icy poles as the halfway point. After we'd walked up this big hill from Valley Reserve, I remember that. We're like, we're going to go to the milk bar and get an ice cream. But it was such a strong part of our childhood and it was such a big thing because we'd get potentially, like, we weren't allowed lunch orders very often, so it would be like for our birthdays or like a special treat. And so it was just like this cool thing and now they don't exist.
No.
And I feel like the local has gone, do you know? Like the local out of the local, the family run business.
Because they would know you as well.
They would know you.
They would know whose kid you were, you know. All that. And, I mean, almost, it's hard to explain, but almost like parenting you, telling you off if you're doing something wrong, sending you on your way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are you meant to be here?
Yeah. Asking about your folks.
Yeah.
The other thing about the milk bar too is the smokes. I suddenly just had a thought about that as well.
Like, I wonder if that took them down.
You could buy cigarettes at the milk bar.
You could.
You know, and I can't remember, I mean, because I didn't grow up with smoking parents, but I think during my time, kids could buy the cigarettes for the parents and take them home. Like, you know, mum would give you $2 to go buy the pack of cigarettes and you could buy it and take it home. But that obviously got killed
out. That changed.
Very quickly, yeah. But I think that used to happen a lot as well at the milk bar, that was the smokes as well.
So I'm wondering, was there anything else from your childhood that existed that does not exist today?
Well, heaps, because I'm 55.
Well, the world has moved on.
Heaps.
What would be one of your most prominent memories?
Well, the thing that's really changed is a lot of the technology, of course. You know, no more DVDs or DVD stores. No more CDs, no more Walkmans or anything like that.
No more Blockbuster.
I mean, during my sort of 20s and 30s, we would go to the DVD store every weekend, always, and you know, get the latest Blockbuster video out. And if it wasn't there, put our name down to reserve it for when the next person bought it back. So we'd get a phone call to say, oh, you know, this video's in if you want to come and get it.
Yeah.
We'd watch all our TV series that way, you know. We used to really love Star Trek back then, so we would put down reserves to get the Star Trek videos and watch. I think each video had 3 episodes, so you could watch 3 episodes, you take it back and get another one and watch another 3 episodes. Just not that on-demand stuff like there is today. So, yeah, and so that's really changed our lifestyle a little bit. Because that's another thing. You go to the local video store and the people there know you as well because you're a regular there every week and you spend quite a lot of time going through all the videos and chatting to them, and that's all gone. It's, again, back to that local.
Yeah, the local's gone.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to Blockbuster and video stores when Scott and I were dating.
Yeah.
We'd get a video. And then I remember when we were married, Netflix had started, but Netflix came as a CD to your house.
Yeah.
And do you remember this leak? Was this happening with you? So when Netflix first became Netflix, it was a DVD. You could put in your order. It would get mailed to your house. You would have it for a certain period of time and then you'd have to mail it back. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this model's never going to work. But it kind of did.
Because the other thing that went with that as well is like buying that sort of stuff like at a sanity store or even JB Hi-Fi, which has mostly, well, got rid of that now. You used to go buy CDs and videos and, you know, Maladdin and I, back in the day, we're going back 25 years ago, we would spend hours in those stores going through the DVDs and the CDs and the videos and buying things. You know, we go to the big bin.
So expensive.
Where they've got like 3 DVDs for $10, you know, go, oh, let's get that classic movie and let's get that, and we'd own it. I've got boxes of videos and CDs and DVDs that I own, and yet I still have found it really hard to let them go. Like they're just sitting there gathering dust.
We threw all those out.
See, I haven't done that. I keep thinking maybe like the record player, they'll come back.
They might come back, but we live in an apartment. We don't have the space for this stuff. But what about you, Luke?
I just having this conversation now, one thing for me that isn't really as prominent, I feel like, these days is like news agencies.
Oh, yes.
That was my that was my milk bar. That was the thing that I was always thinking about. True. All these really cool magazines. And so we're talking again now about like physical media and information, which I think just the way that we consume it now, it just like is not conducive to like models like that, I guess, anymore, right?
I used to spend $60 a month minimum on magazines.
Yeah, I used minimum. To spend a lot on hard copy magazines.
And I would know what day they were coming out and I'd go and buy them and I'd read them. I'd read from front to back that magazine, yeah. Like front to back. And then I'd pass them on to my mum and my mum, who's a boomer, she says one of the things she really misses is all the magazines that I used to have, you know, that she could come over and spend some time and read them all.
Yeah.
But now because I can get that for free on my phone, just do it that way. But would you still buy a magazine?
Yeah, I still buy magazines. It's more of kind of like it's almost like an investment because they're quite expensive now.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit more of a gimmick than it like was back in the day when you were seriously buying magazines because that was your form of entertainment.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I remember the first time I was admitted to hospital with MS. So how old was I? 23.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like ages ago. Anyway, I can't do the maths in my head. I'm now 41. And that's what people bought me in hospital was like all these different magazines to keep me occupied. And I just had this whole array and I kept them for so long because it was almost like this anchoring point of these were the magazines that were given to you as a gift when you were in hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, because you would just read them.
I read them multiple times.
Because I feel comics are still doing pretty well, I think. But there's also the death of the bookshop as well. Not as many bookshops anymore that there used to be.
But even the online bookshops are dying.
Yeah, maybe people aren't reading like they used to.
My favourite
bookshop is still Dimmock's. That's my favourite shop in town is Dimmock's. I would go there every week just to wander and see what new books are out. Because I can't keep up with it online. I need to physically see the books. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if I try to search for that online, I'm going to miss something. So what I do is I go to the bookshop every week, and I do go every week, and I have a look at all the latest releases. I have a look at all. I like a lot of sci-fi and fantasy. I wander up and down it. A new Ben Aronovich came out last week. I'm like, saw it at Dimmock's. That's how I found out it came out. Yeah, so.
Do you go to the bookstore, Lee?
This might actually be stretching your point a bit, Fee. This might not be actually what you were saying. But what I find as well, and maybe this is something that we hearken back to when we think about going and getting a single DVD from the DVD store, renting it or buying a CD. And this is how I feel about magazines and how I feel about books as well and physically going and seeing them, is that when it's digital, we tend to kind of, or at least I tend to devalue things a little bit more because there's just so much digitally to like consume and see and it's all right there in front of you. But when you don't have that and you go to the store and you spend $20 on like a physical book that you now have in front of you and it's new and it's there, I feel like at least I just kind of implicitly put more value onto it. It's like if I were to buy a physical game over a DVD, like a digital copy of a game, just because I've got this physical disc with this case and this artwork, I just feel like it's more valuable. And that's not like, that's probably just a psychological thing as well. And so I could imagine for some people, the idea of buying something physically, it just kind of, it, as you were saying before, Dasha, it gives that anchoring point of like, this is valuable. This is something to spend time on again. This is one singular thing.
So I'm probably different to both of you, is that I don't go to the physical bookstore. Do you know why? Well, I do sometimes if I'm walking past, but not intentionally, because they often don't have the book that I want. So yeah, I often have a list of books. So what I do, I have my Amazon account. And so as I know that there are books that I want, I add them to the cart until I've got enough that I get free shipping.
Yeah.
And then I get them. So I'm still getting the physical book, but half the time it's because my local bookstore doesn't have. So, for example, the book I'm reading at the moment is Lab Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Could not find it in most of the local bookstores that were around my area. So I had to go to the Amazon.
Oh, because I get it ordered in if I can't find a book. I've done that quite a few times. Yeah,
well, then I have to. Then you have to go back to pick it up.
I know, but I love walking. I like reading what the staff recommend as well. You know, having a little read of the card. And
you can read at Goodreads.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I just want to go in. And I can talk to that staff member as well. That, like there's a few times when I've had a – well, Melanda and I on Thursday night spent a number of hours at the bookshop. Like, well, not hours, but we were at least there an hour. And I was talking to some of the staff there saying, oh, this latest book's come out. Oh, have you seen this reader? Like, I love that, getting recommendations. You can't get that. I don't know. I feel like you can't get that online.
But it is the local again. It's
local again.
We're going back to is that local and that connection, and some of that is now disappearing.
I would be really sad if bookshops died, like went. That would be, for me, that would be something that I would mourn. I would really mourn the loss of a bookshop. I did mourn the loss of magazine shops, by the way.
Newsagents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure. I think with bookshops, I think they'll never die. But what I think is a shame and what I think is happening is that, and this is what's happened now with different forms of like music media, is that they become a little bit more niche, and it's less about you've got a bookshop on every corner and more like it's just like these other shops that exist, but not in as much quantity as you remember them.
100%. And then you have to travel further to get to them, which means you're less likely to do that.
But what are kids missing out on today if they don't get that sort of stuff? I know, like, with some of my nieces and nephews, their local shop is the 7-Eleven.
And
they do go to the 7-Eleven quite regularly.
Is the 7-Eleven the new milk bar?
It definitely is. Yeah, you know, they go get a Slurpee
yeah.
on the way home.
Because when I was growing up, 7-Eleven was the petrol station.
Yeah.
And now you can have a 7-Eleven without the petrol.
Yeah. And so a lot of times I'll be with one of my sisters and she'll go, oh, such and such a set, can they have some money put onto their card? Because they all have these little debit cards. And she goes, oh, they must be at the 7-Eleven. Getting something on the way home.
Interesting.
So I think that's the new deli. I really do.
The new milk bar.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, deli is what we used to call them. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You weird Western Australianers.
The new deli.
Yeah. Sorry. The 7-Eleven was basically my milk bar when I was in high school. There was no milk bar.
Yeah.
Wowzers. This is blowing my mind.
So see, I'm going to deli. You're going the milk bar. But I do know the milk bar as well.
Yeah.
To me, that's a very American term, the milk bar.
Deli was an American term.
No, I've never heard deli before.
Yeah. The deli is like where you buy your meat from in the supermarket.
Oh, no. This is what you call a milk bar. And then, yeah, the 7-Eleven, the kids are doing that now. Because they still are not coming straight home from school, kids, you know. They hang out and they go to the skate parks and they go to the 7-Eleven and they still have that.
Hasn't changed as much.
Maybe it's just different in the way that it is.
Hey guys, it's Luke here. Thanks so much for listening to the XYZ Experiment podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a like, follow, and tell your friends and family about us.